Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
My fly is open.
You were making it for young in the kitchen.
I miss you, Peggy.
I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing, Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the streaming, go direct to DLNGS.org. And ICChallengeAnalytics.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 850 of the Linux Link Tech Show for March 25th, 2020. On the show tonight, we have Alan.
From my bunker, yeah.
We have Pat.
Eating the pig.
Oh, yeah, man. That sounds so good. And we have Rich.
From the Hughes Compound Southern Command.
We have Joel.
Just waiting for nap time.
And we have Joe.
Yeah, that's true. I am waiting for nap time, Joe. And there's Joe.
And Joe. All right. And Joe, you were lamenting about the lack of support for Raspberry Pi 4.
Well, it's not the lack of support that I am having the issue with. It's a lack of development of other operating systems. For the Raspberry Pi 4 and programs for the Raspberry Pi 4. Now granted, it's been less than a year so far and it was kind of a surprise throwing it out there, but the device did sell out right away and it took weeks and weeks before you could get, you know, the next run of boards out and to two people. But I'm still not seeing that enthusiasm for the Pi 4 that you saw for the 3, the 2, and the 1. And the 0, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
What do you
think
the problem
would be nice if, that's a good question. It would be nice if they actually wrote some, made some tweaks to it so that it actually took advantage of that extra RAM.
Yeah, yeah. Some tweaks to it to, you know, use that extra RAM. People could be doing that development for that. I think the major issue is the change in architecture. The change in the command set.
Right. Well, so, see, now, when did they switch to 64-bit? Wasn't that when, during the 3?
No.
Correct, that was the 3. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
But they changed the chip in the 4, and that uses a different command set. Right? Am I using the right words there?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, you are.
So, I think that change right there, that I think anything you do now for the 4 that's just for the 4 isn't going to be backwards compatible the way you had with the previous ones. So I don't know if that's deterring people or if the new complexity is deterring people, but I'm just not seeing that enthusiasm and development for the 4 that you had for everything before it.
Right. Well, I think they're trying to make the OS images so that you can pop the memory card out of a 4 and pop it into a 3 and it still work, and that's probably not the right way to go.
Yeah, you know, that was great, you know, Pi 0 through Pi 3, but look, you gotta abandon the old architecture at some point.
You
can't have this compatibility. That was a big problem with Microsoft, and actually still is to some degree. When you look at somebody like Apple, where they're, you know, moving from processor to processor to processor, unfortunately that orphans a lot of hardware, but once the hardware gets better and better and better, or realistically looking at what Apple is doing, they're going to be going all ARM in the future. So they're going to have one CPU and one OS for every single device. Maybe variants, you know, maybe a phone-specific variant, a tablet-specific variant.
Yeah, they're going to have the X series with the, like, the A10X and A11X and A11 and A10 and so on and so forth. So they'll have their iPad slash laptop style chip, and then they'll have their regular A10 chip, which will be for the phones and stuff, but you know, overall, their instruction set is all based on on the original ARM, but it's expanded, at least with Apple, as far as Apple goes anyway. Because it's all custom silicon in their case. But yeah, I honestly don't think, a lot of people think that they're going to switch all the ARM. They might. They have all the ability and everything they need to do that.
No, it's not a might. They will.
Well,
that one you can take to the bank.
I don't know. But
anyhow, let's circle back to the Raspberry Pi. So the problem here, we're not talking about a multi-$1,000 device. We're talking about, in the case of the Raspberry Pi Zero, and if you could walk into a Micro Center, you're talking about a $5 device. Or what's the cheapest Pi 4 right now? Is it $35 at Micro Center? Because there's going to be a...
Yeah, if you don't get the one with the RAM, yeah.
Yeah, there's 2 gigs and 4 gigs now. They discontinued the 1 gig version, which, great, fine. So there's really no reason you can't just take all of those older Pi devices, throw them in the damn garbage. Now, I'm all for reusing, repurposing, and all of that bit. But I'm saying at this cost, at this price point, they're effectively disposable devices. So the ability to move on from a 4, say, okay, fine, we have, you know, Gen 2 product here. Let's, you know, have new OS, new software. It won't be backwards compatible. Or maybe you can run a backwards compatible OS, but it's not going to be the most efficient. That would be the best way to go, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's what they tried, and it just hasn't really taken off.
Well, and what I started to say before the pre-show, or before the regular show started during the pre-show, is that VMware 2 years ago at VMworld was in Vegas, was touting that they've got ESXi running on the Pi. At that time, it was a Pi 3. So now we got a Pi 4 with 4 gigs of RAM, and the rumor was, you know, heavily supported rumor, was that shortly after ESXi 7 comes out, there will be a fling for Raspberry Pi ESXi. And I haven't seen that yet, so I don't know if that's coming out. For somebody that's a VMware guy at home and you want to set up a cluster or you want to set up multiple clusters to learn how this stuff works, I think that's a fantastic thing. Can you imagine having the ability to do things that you would only be able to do in an enterprise with a serious amount of hardware for under $300, under $200? You could set up a cluster for, yeah, with a switch, some power supplies, and, you know, of course, you got the SD cards and all that, and some little bit of wiring. But realistically, you're talking under $200 to set up a three-node cluster.
I'd like to see, a Pi 5 or Pi 5 Max. You know, basically, let's make, like, your dream Pi or your dream... Oh. You know, or Orange Pi or whatever, the dream machine where you can have desktop amounts of RAM. So like 8 gigs minimum, 16 gigs maximum, maybe 32. Truly give it enough resources to really challenge for an Intel platform based device. And I'd like to see that. I don't know if I will, but I'd like to.
Yeah, but then that's more Pine territory, isn't it?
Yeah.
Odroid.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know anybody right now really running over 4 gigs in the, like, home SBC type market.
Right.
There
right.
are, you know, rack mount ARM systems that are, you know, have 32 cores and high amounts
right?
of RAM.
The rumor has been that the Pi 4 was going to get an 8 gigabyte model.
Right.
Well, I think Dorr had one that his box had like 1 gig, 2 gig, 4 gig, 6 gig. You know, like the white areas and where you put a check. So, hold on, let me see. I got a 4 gig one right here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that print on the box.
I mean, you can. I mean, 4 gigs is sufficient for a light-duty desktop. I can do
4
quite
gig
a bit.
Was a lot of your laptops not too long
yeah.
ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, four gigs on the new one runs really nice.
Yeah, it does. But like I said, I'd like to, you know, the only thing I don't like about it is that ARM, especially with the Pis, they had the binary blob issue with the drivers.
What is the issue? And I'm not saying this to be antagonistic. I want to make sure the audience understands.
The graphics card. The graphics chip.
Right, but the blob meaning that there's a binary blob. It's not fully 100% open source.
Correct.
So there's not a problem. Right. I mean, unless you're saying people can't code to it, but they can. There's specs for it.
Yeah, but if you want to, like, for example, you want to update your kernel on your own, you know, you can if you can find the binary blob that supports the new kernel. You know, but if you, like, good example is BSD running on it yet? You know, that I don't think it is.
I thought there was a version of BSD for the Pi.
I mean, I might be wrong, you know, and I'd be happy to be wrong, but, you know, but it's like, how easy is it someone, you know, and I look it's at things like the Pine Book. Well, I just look at like at the Pine Book. It's like, you know, if you couldn't get an image for it, you were done. I mean, so it's like, you know, you were stuck with like Mate from 604, you know, now granted the Pine Book Pro probably fixed some of that, but you know, I'd like the architecture changes so that you basically can have something more similar to what Intel has, where you can stick a disk in and do it, you know, and it's not there yet. I mean, we know this.
Okay, so I think we need to talk about, competing architectures that exist out there. So in the Mac world, and actually iOS versus Android is a good example of this.
Yes.
Because there's so few pieces of hardware that iOS runs on, it can be incredibly highly optimized. There are no extra drivers that aren't getting used in the OS.
True.
Whereas in the Android world, they've got to support thousands of different hardware configurations. Same thing with Microsoft versus Apple. Apple only has to support, you know, for their laptops, a hardware spec, or, you know, a variant of the hardware spec. Whereas in the Microsoft world, they have to support, again, thousands of different potential hardware specs. And when you talk about it, we're talking about Intel CPUs versus AMDs. Was it Alpha MIPS back in the day? There was also an Alpha MIPS version of Windows. So there's a lot to be said about the control. Now, Raspbian only has to support, I don't know, really three flavors of their hardware. Because the Pi 3 was the first break, and then the Pi 4 was the next break after that. So they did live in a pristine environment for a very long time, and that's kind of changing. I hope it matures because, you know, me, I'm a lover of these, Pi devices. And my big, love of these devices is, you know, you can have a whole bunch of them. They're quiet. They don't generate a lot of heat. They don't suck up a lot of power. And when I have my data center in my office, the loudest thing is the hard drives. I'll hear a backup going on, and I'll hear the hard drive's head clunking around. I don't want to hear a whole bunch of, you know, fans worrying about, and I don't like it.
Counter, I just have six of them sitting on my desktop here.
Right.
within reach of me, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's just, you know, right now, the platform that's going to give you the true flexibility right now is still Intel. Where, you know, how many different Linux distributions are there for Intel versus you got Raspbian, there's no Fedora version on ARM that I know of. There might be one actually there is Pydora, although I don't know how up to date it is. You've got, Ubuntu does have, some Pi builds, mostly Mate, but there's no Slack. I think Arch, does Arch exist on the Pi? I think it does.
Yeah.
And of course you got Linux from scratch, which can exist on any platform. But
I'll be back.
Now, a second ago, you were mentioning the next iteration of the Pi. You were talking about the Pi 5 coming out, and it's probably going to be a while before that happens. Now,
probably, right.
I say that, and I'm, you know, in July, they'll just throw something out there again.
Yeah, probably.
But still, right now, you got to wait for the next iteration of the Zero to come out. Mm-hmm. That probably should have already happened. I don't know what their time frame for that is, but I expect the next iteration of the Zero.
I'd even be happy with a fixed USB 3 or USB-C power.
Well, wait a second. The USB-C was fixed.
They fixed
There's
it.
a 4B.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Well, they did a quiet fix on it.
Right.
You know, they put that little chip on there to make it work right, and then when you go to the store, you don't know which one you're buying.
What? It doesn't say B. No, mine says Model B.
Don't they all say Model B? So it, because of how the port setup are, because the A's were the ones that were lower profile, right? No, because they had the full size Ethernet as well, but they had the less number of USB ports.
Yeah, the A's are the ones that are actually what I think they're like a square shaped.
Right.
Then you got the rectangle Pi zeros. And the A's probably don't have hardly anything on it. They don't have any physical ports at all. I think it's all,
that is the lower profile one.
Right. So there's no Ethernet. I mean, Ethernet's there. You know, the header for Ethernet's there, but you gotta wire it.
So it would still be a B.
I don't know. I'd have to look.
Yeah, I would have to look too.
I also thought the Model A was, limited on RAM too.
Alright, I know there was an article on how to identify which model Raspberry Pi 4 you got.
Right, and I think the other piece of hardware that we would be waiting for would be the compute module 4.
Yes. Yes. Yep. And things I'd like to see other than, actually, outside of the Pi itself, I would love it if somebody would bring out a multi-port USB-C charger.
You know, that's just crazy. Of course you want that, right? Wouldn't that be the killer item on the market?
I think so. I think so, because I got, you know, my phone is USB-C, my, LG headset is now USB-C as well.
Don't worry, Samsung will put one out, but it'll explode.
Probably.
Yeah.
Right now, the only thing I know that has multiple USB-C ports, other than maybe a laptop, is the Tesla Model Y. The back seat has two USB-C ports.
Cool.
Which I think is kind of hilarious. And they also call the Model Y an SUV. I don't call it an SUV, or a crossover. I don't even call it that. It's a little small for me.
It's aimed at the people who just want a slightly larger Model 3.
Yeah, exactly. That's really all it is. Mm-hmm. Plus, I haven't watched all of it yet, but I watched a majority of Doug DeMuro's video on it that came out this week. And, I guess it has heated seats in the back, but you can't turn them on from the back. The front passenger has to turn them on via the LCD, which I thought, that's kind of dumb.
Oh my.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, the back seats, the only things, it has two cup holders and two USB-C ports, and that's it. No entertainment display, no radio at all for the back seat members, none of that. So, I'd be lying if I said I didn't want one, because I do. Either that or Cybertruck, one of the two. I should just put my credit card in and put a deposit in on one anyway.
You save a couple hundred dollars every month.
But again, we all know who knows how low it's going to come.
A loan, an interest-free loan from you, Joel.
Mm-hmm. Hey, something's got to pay for all those respirators he bought from China. But, yeah, USB-C, I have a 6-port USB-A charger, and even the USB-A charger that would be able to provide enough amperage on all the ports, not just two of them, to run up high would be freaking awesome too.
Yeah, I haven't found too many multi-port USB output chargers that will actually do multi-port.
Yes.
Like, you know, 3 or 4 items that do fast charging at the same time. You're not going to find it. Or at least yes. I haven't found one yet.
I haven't either, so I mean, because it's like, because if they ever did that, it's top cluster time, baby. Build a render farm. That's what I want to build.
Build your own. Just gonna get a real nice 5-volt power supply,
and a big power strip.
Yeah, gotta get one of those like 20 amp 5-volt power supplies, and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm gonna have to do some surgery on my drone. I didn't crash it. What happened is that I noticed this after I got back from a flight. Right around where the battery latches are, the frame's all, there's like 2 chips right out of it. And the battery just kind of sits in there. So it still works. It still flies. It can fly like that too. Cause it's not like I'm taking it, you know, doing loop to loops. You can't do a loop to loop with the Mavic Pro. Yeah, it's not, I wasn't happy when I saw that, but I was able to find the part for like $13. So, and I saw a video out there, so I'm going to try and, not right away, but I'm going to try and do surgery on it and, fix it. I'm waiting for I need to find a gimbal clamp again so that when I'm working on it, the camera's not going back and forth and I don't bust the camera.
Duct tape so, works fine.
Yeah, well, the way the Mavic Pro's cam
just
work.
Just put a condom over it. That'll
it has a kind of like a clear lens that goes over it. I never fly with that on.
Unlooped condom.
You can fly with it on, but I never do because it usually compromises the pictures and the videos. So you take that off and then you take the gimbal clamp off. Well, when that broke, it had like the little tabs broke on it. For some unknown reason, not because I forced it or nothing, but, I bought a replacement that actually has the gimbal clamp built into the cover. So, now I just take it off and there's no gimbal clamp that I have to also take off. So, I might have the original around, but I ordered a couple extras too, just in case, but just cause I wanna be able to fix that. So it's not too difficult to fix it. There's, like four or five, hex screws in a battery compartment, a couple on the opposite side up by where the front props swing out. And then you just use the spudger to pry the back loose. And be very careful when you do that because there is the GPS for it is attached to the underside of the shell that you're replacing. So you got to pull it up just enough to get in there with a pair of pliers to pull the connector off the board and then unscrew the screws that hold that in, screw that into the new one, and after you pop it all the way off, and then you pop it all back together. Probably the video says it'll take 15 minutes, but I'm going to probably dedicate an hour to it when I get to do it. But I'm going to wait until all this stupid flooring stuff's done in the house, because lately, that's been my life. I get off work, and I'm always like, okay, we need to start work. You need to start working. I did this all day. Yeah.
But I'm thinking about getting the mini of that.
The mini, Mavic, the Mavic Mini?
Yeah.
The, you mean the one that's under 250?
Yeah, the tiny one.
I'm kind of interested in that too, myself. Cause, I think it'd be kind of cool to have. And most times I don't really care. I mean, it's nice to have the 4K video, but I don't have to have it.
Well, yeah, I don't need anything. I've got nothing that will do 4K video anyways.
Right.
So I'm not even worried about that, but
I've got three cameras sort of doing now.
I sort of miss mine. And so I got it.
Yeah, you do have one that does it.
Excuse me?
You do have a camera that does 4K, your Osmo Pocket.
Oh yeah, yeah, but I don't have it. You know, to try to do any work on that, I've got no computers fast enough to be able to, powerful enough to actually be able to work with that. So,
tried to buy a new computer.
Yeah, that ain't gonna happen.
I know. My Surface does okay with 4K.
Munchkin's due in a month, so I ain't gonna.
I know. Oh wait, another one?
Yeah, I told you guys that before, didn't I?
I know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I got another one due in the beginning of May.
Well, that's kind of cool.
I'm sorry. I thought I mentioned that on the show before.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So buying the Mini will be my last thing I'm buying.
Another boy?
Yeah, another boy.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah, at least you have all the hand-me-downs.
I was going to say, I got clothes and stuff this time. I'm losing my computer room. I'm going to be living among the dust in the basement.
That's not a bad thing, necessarily.
Yeah, I don't have any room in the basement either. I'm trying to fit another room down there, and I don't even have room for what's down there.
Now, see, other than my room and my son's room, all the other rooms are going to have the vinyl plank flooring. I'm not doing my room because I need to basically take the living room over before I can do the flooring in my room because I got so much stuff in here.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I can't, there's no way I could do it. Plus I have to work, it's a family member doing the work so we can skirt the rules on the, stay at home order. And none of us are sick, so, and all of us are antisocial, so, you know, but, well, I won't say I'm not antisocial. My wife's antisocial. Like, we went to go to Lowe's to see if we could find, we're looking for the steps. The steps have carpet on them, but we're going to probably put like, they have these vinyl, you know, just kind of goes over the top of the tread.
It looks like wood.
And then either we're going to paint the risers and the stringer. Well, not us. He's going to do it. or we're going to, for the risers, we can get, vinyl planks to go on the risers that he can nail in. So that way he doesn't have to paint them. The only thing he'd have to paint is the stringer, but we're going to put the stringer's going to be white too. So I don't know why, but okay, that's what she wants. But he's downstairs flooring where the plumbing leak happened is all done now. The only thing he's working on the trim, but his saw was starting to give him fits. So he was having problems with it. It's really not safe for him to use the guard had broke off of his old saw. So he's going to buy, a new one, on the way home today. He's supposed to come tomorrow, do the trim, and he's supposed to start working in the living room. So, bad thing is, once I get all the flooring done, I know the wife's going to look at the walls in a few of our rooms and say, those need paint. So you know what Joel's going to be doing. I hate painting. But I'll do it. It's one of the few things that I can actually do pretty well in and around the house. It's not difficult. It's just messy. You know, it's bad enough that we're putting kills on the subfloor after we ripped the carpet up here because, you know, you got cats. Cats kind of find the unseen areas in the house. When they're not happy with you, you know.
Yeah, I've had that happen.
Yep. So there's a couple areas in the house that are pretty bad. I got to put. In fact, I got one big area in the bedroom that's not in great shape. So we're gonna put a couple layers of kills over that. The oil based kills, because that stuff stinks. Oof.
Yeah, no, I just had to do my bathroom with some of that.
Mm-hmm. But
that's right. It's flat white. That's what's gonna stay.
Yeah.
I ain't doing this again.
And I didn't really realize it too, but the trim, because we're putting the same trim we put in the bathroom and the kitchen up here. But the trim that we put in, and this actually was selected by the Lowe's designer, which they don't even have that department anymore. It's actually outdoor trim. it's a PVC trim and it's made that you can paint it, but we just left it white. And that's what we're going to do for the downstairs too, because it looks good. So.
Yeah.
And that came home on top of my SUV Friday, which was also much fun because each one of them are 12 foot long. So I had a little bit hanging off the back, a little bit hanging off the front, and I'd had to drive city streets the whole way home because I just did not want to drive 70 miles an hour on the speed on the freeway with a bunch of 12 foot long planks on the top of my car. So I just drove the long way home. It wasn't too bad though. Because thankfully the traffic's low, but it's been a trying month. I might just take a vacation of not doing anything for anyone or anywhere.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen for me for a while. So
yeah, I know.
18 more years.
Get yourself fixed now. You got two, man. I wouldn't do more than two.
Nah, I can do more than two. That's for damn sure.
Mm-hmm.
Got no room in the house for more than two.
I don't have room for more than one. I want him to get out of here so I can make that my 3D printing room. Actually, that won't happen either because the wife will probably move in there. One of the things I thought of doing is having him put some cabinets in downstairs and then get the cabinets that have like a big wide space in it so that basically you have the glass doors, come through 3D printers in there.
Well, that'd be neat to do.
That's what I'd like to do. That's not what I'm going to do, but... Home ownership. Some ways I recommend it. In a lot of ways, I am envious of the people who live in an apartment. When stuff breaks, you can call them up and say, "Fix it, dear Henry."
Yeah, but that's not always that fun either.
No, because you can't do what you want to do.
You can start off with like good landlords. And then end up with somebody who's a complete asshole. They sell out the place.
This is true.
I had that when I had the apartment up in Bethlehem. And we started out with decent owners of the place. And it was a complex. So it was more than one building. And then it got bought up by these people who were pinching every single penny that they possibly could. And the place just went to hell.
Like
they started renting out to like Section 8 people and stuff, and it just was not a pleasant situation.
It's like Dan's landlord who won't fix the furnace. It sounds like a screeching goose.
What are you gonna do? You know?
Yeah.
Buy a house, so the only person you can blame is yourself.
Or the contractor. But yeah, that's now the downstairs flooring looks pretty nice, so I'm happy with it. I need to figure out what I want to do with the ceiling down there. It's got that old textured ceiling stuff, you know.
Popcorn.
Yeah. I wanna find
scrape it off.
Yeah, I don't really want to do that though.
Shop master scraper.
Well, there's an alternative, like the only thing is I don't think the wife would like, well, unless I found something that were a different color. His, and I think you can still get them, but for a while there were, the copper ceilings were back in vogue for a little while, and they basically had these, basically, it's much thinner than the old, it's much thinner than the old one, so, and it just goes right on over the texture. So you don't have to scrape it off or nothing, you just nail it in. So, I like the look, she doesn't. So.
Who's like dinging?
Well, that was me, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like looking around to see if it's like my phone or something going off.
It sounds like Google Hangouts.
No, it was just my page messaging me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Google Hangouts. But, oh, I'm supposed to, and I'm probably going to send a message to him and say, hey, if it was Sunday, I'd be there. But what they've been doing for our church services is they'll record them on Thursdays. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I can do it Thursday. That's all I got going on in this house right now. Because I know I got a, well, I'm debating whether I want to run kills down the hallway, so that it's dry by the morning. Although that means that I better, before I finish from the bathroom to our bedroom, I better go to the bathroom one last time before I go to bed.
You don't want to, like, living on the edge?
Well, you can do the left side of the hallway than the right side of the hallway, Joel.
You know what? That's actually not a bad idea. I might do that. I might just leave a path.
Until you get up in the middle of the night and forget which side you stepped on.
Or just do the center, do the sides, and then the center.
Well, it will, it dries in about an hour or two anyway, so if I have that midnight call.
For another 2 hours.
Yeah, probably. But, tacky I can deal with, you know. But, at least it will be done. And then tomorrow I think I'm going to try and tackle the big spot in the bedroom that needs it. Cause that's going to need a lot of drying. In fact, that's drying. I've got it now. A fan running out now cause I put some cleaner down on it before I put the kills down. But, and I got one of them floor fans running. But once that's done, it's done. And then nothing for a while yet, except for maybe painting. But you see, that's, painting is like a weekend project. This flooring has been going on. It was like counting the acquisition of the flooring a month total so far. But I guess it'll be worth it someday. I don't know. We joke with each other. Missy and I will joke with each other. By the time we get it to where we want it to be, we'll be ready to die. I'm like, yeah, probably right. Or at least sell it.
Just fix it by not doing anything at all to it, and then you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't painted my most of my house in 18 years.
Well, neither have I. So, I mean, we've been here 20.
Although I do need to find somebody who can patch sheetrock.
Shaw holes?
No, I had a leak in the
garage
bathroom that came down into my ceiling in the living room.
Oh, and, yeah, I had
to
open it up
only to find out that the hole really was, or the leak really wasn't from the piping. It was the people when they put in the bathtub. They never bothered to put caulking on anything.
Dumbass.
So I had one of those, the removable shower heads, and the hose was leaking. So it was leaking down the wall, you know, down the shower wall, which I thought nothing of because it's like, you know, it's all one big piece of plastic there. You know, it's one of those insert type things.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, it's just leaking right into the tub. Well, I'm not going to worry about it. But here it was running behind the little insert that's over top of where the the handle for controlling the hot,
like the
cold
seam.
Water.
Oh boy!
And was just going right in the back of there and down the ceiling. And even though that happened like it's embarrassing how long ago it happened. But
happens.
You know, a white piece of plastic over top of it right now, which blends, you know, but I mean, you can see it, but just like, I know that it's something that, you know, I am not going to be able to patch myself. So, so it's just a matter of finding some money and finding somebody who actually would do it. That's the other part.
It's called knowing your limits. You know, that's the thing.
Well, it's also finding someone that will do it too. You go, well, I have a hole here. And they're like, what else you got for me?
Yeah, that's like, this is a family member, and you know, we're paying them a bunch of money, and we've got a bunch of money in the flooring itself. I mean, we probably got about $2,000 in the flooring and the trim work. In fact, I need to get more trim too, I needed about, my initial calculation was about 20 strips of the casements for around the doors, but, we only got 10, and then I also discovered I forgot the sliding door too, so I'm probably going to need about 12 or 13 strips of the casement, and I think I'm going to try my hand and see if I can't get them to deliver it, which I don't know if they will or not. They might. In a normal situation, without a pandemic going on, I'm pretty sure I could get it delivered. Now, I'm not so sure, but at least I know that my local Lowe's has it, so if I have to make multiple trips, see the bad part is they're 12 foot long. So they, unless I ride by myself and figure out a way to get the front passenger seat to fold all the way down, it basically will go. When we tried it Friday, we had one that goes all the way up over to the dash, all the way to the windshield. And it's still stuck out just enough in the back to where I couldn't close the tailgate. So I'm like, ugh. And I looked at the wife and said, now you see why you want a pickup truck?
Yeah, but it wouldn't necessarily. If you call something that's 12 foot, that pickup truck ain't necessarily going to help you.
This is true, but then I don't. If
it's
I ever get a pickup
stuff.
If I get a pickup truck, I ain't messing around though. I'm gonna get a Silverado, so that's probably not gonna be a problem. Because then I could just fit as much as I can in the bed, and then stick the tops of it over the cab, and be fine with that, and just tie it down real good. I tell you what though, I tied it down. They had that cheap twine over at Lowe's, and I tied that trim work over on top of my Traverse, and drove city streets the whole way, and it didn't move an inch. So, being in the Boy Scouts taught me something. Also taught me that my Opinel was not the greatest knife to bring with me, because the way you open the Opinel pocket knife, it has a twist lock on it. So, and considering how many times I had to pull it in and out of my pocket to open up the knife to cut a piece of rope, once I got it tied off and I wanted to cut the strings off, and so I probably had to open it up about 10 times just loading it up. So, I went back to my normal folder, which I can open up in 2 seconds.
Sometimes the simple ones are the best.
Yeah, my other one, it has a little peg that's on the side of the blade, so I just kind of push that up a little bit with my thumb, and then just snap my wrist, and it opens up.
I had the perfect truck for you here on Bring a Trailer, but unfortunately, of course, I can't find it now.
Yep. The best thing about that Opinel, though, is it's sharp as all get out. It's one of the best knives I have. It's a French knife. It's actually a good knife, like if you're camping and you need something to cut like vegetables or something with, it's actually perfect for that. But, of course, as long as you wash it and sanitize it a little bit. If you can find any sanitizer. Or any rubbing alcohol. Or any aloe vera.
Four teaspoons of bleach and a quart of water. There you go.
Oh, yeah, that works, too. Although bleach is also rare around here now, too.
Let's go down in you ain't got anything in the basement?
Yeah, I actually had a little bit. That's actually what I got on the flooring in my bedroom right now. in a couple spots to bleach it out a little bit. It's interesting what you go into and see what's gone and what's there. You know, things that you would think would be totally gone, like beef jerky, fully stocked. Well, go figure. Chicken's gone. Beef's gone. Ramen noodles are gone. Not that I care about cheap ramen noodles, because if I'm going to eat ramen, I'm going to eat my Samyang.
Well, yeah, but ramen has its place. It's always good to have some couple packs around somewhere.
It's like one of those flexible things too. I had a guy I used to work with. He used to take ramen, he'd drain it, and then he'd put the noodles on a tortilla with some meat, and he'd sprinkle the ramen seasoning on it, and that's what he'd eat. And I'm like, that's kind of gross.
Ah, here we go.
But kind of good in the same respect.
Let me post this. This will be the truck for you, Joel. I'll put it over on the mumble thing here.
Everything
you need in a truck, right there.
Oh yeah, top kicks. Yeah.
There you go. Runs on LPG, as well as gas.
Not opposed to that. All the buses over on liquid natural gas now around here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Finally loaded. Holy crap! That's a big truck.
I was going to say, it's just the truck you need.
It's almost as big as the Unimog. You ever see the Unimog there, Pat? Pat's not listening.
Pat's still on?
Yeah, he's still on.
Maybe fell asleep.
He's too busy eating pig.
That's good there.
Oh, crap, I'm sorry. I was commenting and I was muted. Is that the truck you got, Alan?
Is that the truck I got? Yeah, I wish.
No, it's more like a truck he wants.
How much does something like that go for?
Well, that'd be $80,000
right now,
truck.
$200,000.
Yeah,
$200,000?
That's what the
big $200,000.
Oh.
Well, right now the bid is $200.
Oh yeah, current bid. I just saw that up there.
Oh, is it? Oh yeah.
Yeah, $200.
Yeah, you got like 7 days to work on that one. They got a nice 78 Ford F-350.
That's a 97 though. 90s cars. Yeah, now that I have everything I have is relatively new. 90s cars really sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a Saturn in the 90s, which I actually enjoyed. It was a good car. But it was plasticky as fuck. Plastic everywhere. And then that soft touch rubbery kind of texture that they started putting on tech for a long time. That also was one of those ideas that was great at the time, but it's not so great over time.
Does it kind of turn into a liquid?
Sticky.
Mm-hmm.
It gets sticky.
Yeah, just ask anybody who collects old ThinkPads.
Yeah, mine still aren't too bad.
You still have your old Mac, right?
I do. Yeah, actually, I was cleaning and just came across it again. I mean, I always knew about where it was, but it was buried under a whole lot of stuff right now.
That was, what, one of their first or second Intel ones, I think, wasn't it?
It was the generation that you could still put Linux on without fucking it up.
Ah.
Because it was right after that, it was, even though it was dual core, it was, they did something that you could only use like one core in Linux, and I think this one, you still could use the two.
Right.
Is that still a problem right now? Or are you talking about on the PowerPC side?
No, this is one of the old black, the plastic
MacBook. The MacBook, yeah.
Oh.
Where you could actually still replace everything inside of it.
Okay.
The black one, yeah.
The one that still had a light up MacBook, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of the good
still one. Still had a light up Apple on the back.
Yeah, it did, yes.
Don't they all still have a light up Apple on the back?
Not anymore.
Well, I never look at the back of the one I have for work, so.
Yep.
I think it's the Chrome one, I think. And during the pandemic, of course, Apple brings out a new iPad with iPad Pro with LiDAR in it. Yeah, that's going to sell.
Well, there'll be people to buy them.
Apple has people
to buy.
There's
always people that will buy that stuff.
Here's a truck for you, Joel. 91 Volkswagen T3 Transporter Doka. It's the,
nice.
the van with the back half is the truck.
Okay. I like, one of my favorite YouTube channels now is called Living the Van Life, and it's a guy, dude, who lives in the Pacific Northwest, and his home is a Vanagon, Westfalia.
Yes, I've seen that guy.
So he's basically homeless.
Yeah, basically, yeah. No. He has like a adventure movie kind of production company, I think. So he actually does go to an office, but he'll park it out like at night. He'll go out into the woods and park in there, and that's where he sleeps for the night. He's got a little heater in it. He's basically fully tricked out. I mean, he's got everything he needs in it. So, and depending where you're living on the Pacific Coast, that might be your cheapest option. And I'm not sure if people still live in the parking lot of Google or not. I know first year Google people, a lot of them were just buying like trucks, and they set up a little living room in the back of their rented truck, and that's where they'd live because they couldn't afford to buy any place in San Francisco.
Very few people can afford to buy any place in San Francisco.
Yep. Well, and then one of our clients, there's an art school, and they're not a cloud client there, but they do they are using Colleague, which is the ERP we run, or that I run as part of the cloud team, and they're probably going to be bankrupt before too much longer, and that's not because of the virus. It's just because they got so much debt already. But, yep. So, as long as, it doesn't get canceled, and the stay-at-home order is done, and I have no more major house things. I'm planning on going to Southeast Linux Fest this year because everything else is canceled. So,
say that, everybody, because I ain't gonna make it there either. So,
what, Southeast Linux Fest?
Yeah, Alan's broke. He's gonna got another kid. So
I imagine that. I'd be surprised if they have it. We'll see.
Right now, Jeremy's saying yes, they are. Unless North Carolina tells him no. And I think most of the stay at home stuff it ends in May, possibly. That's ours is supposed to be through April 9th, but we'll see what happens. Because Governor DeWine is probably, of all the governors, he's probably the one that's done things earliest, with exception of some of the stay-at-home order stuff. And the stay-at-home order is kind of strange, too, because now in some states I've heard that law enforcement, not only is law enforcement not going to pull you over if you're out and about and they think you shouldn't be, but I think they're not even pulling you over for, like, traffic violations either at this point. That's the rumor. In some states. I don't know if that's true in Ohio, and I'm not going to try it.
I'll just get your plate number and mail you the ticket.
We used to have stoplight cams, and I got hit by one once, and then my wife got hit by one once. Both times it came in my name because it went off the plate, and I found out, and I think Ohio pretty much outlawed them now, because what it was it basically was just a revenue generator for them.
That's all it is for any of them.
Yes, it's correct. Because they don't put anything on your license. You don't even send the money to the state. You send it to the people who run the camera.
Yep, and they split it.
Yep.
I think they were made illegal in Texas. I'm not sure.
Probably were.
There was something on the books about it.
Both for the stoplight and the speed cams, too.
Yeah, the stoplight cameras are illegal.
And every one of them, whether it was a stoplight or a speed cam, I think every one of them required a police officer to view the video before the citation was issued. So.
Well, that's how they made it official.
Right. Right. But then.
It's not really a revenue generator because we are looking for your safety.
Right. Not a fan of it myself, you know. I think eventually it probably will come to be where they do that, but I'm hoping that I'm gone by then. But yeah, what was funny is I got that ticket on the way back from Great Wolf Lodge. I got home, and it took them 3 days for it to get in their system before I could pay it online. I'm like, why? I mean, that is the funniest thing in the world was that. And then even further, I go, you talk about companies who you would think can handle cloud things and computers and servers and stuff like that, like, I don't know, YouTube and Google, and they're in automatic mode now. Same thing with Facebook. I'm like, really? You don't have a VPN for your employees to use that they can log into? Gee, my company does. We're fully 100% remote, the whole company, including the CEO. So, I mean, yeah. And we have an office in Bangalore. We have an office in Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi all the time?
UAE, United Arab Emirates. We have one in Dublin, Ireland. I think that's the ones, all the ones I know about. There might be one in Australia too, but so we have our company is an international company, and our company is 100% online right now at this point, thanks to the epidemic. So, and our offices are closed.
We're working from home, but it's surely telling them how shitty their network is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting like, yeah. Unfortunately, I can't get to my building without going through one in Pittsburgh first. Because of the way they set up the VPNs and stuff.
Yep. Now you guys been having, we've been having like extra meetings, like we've been having like a quote unquote happy hours just to kind of touch base with everybody. Have you guys been doing stuff like that too, or?
No, that's, thankfully I don't have a ton of meetings anyway, so.
Yeah. What about you, Dan? Have you been doing that kind of thing too, where you're just getting together just to talk about things, not necessarily work things?
Not any more than we used to do.
Right.
I think some people are, but I haven't been.
Right.
A lot of our people are still at work because we're manufacturing for the most part. So,
right.
And it's only, I'm considered less essential because my stuff is always behind a desk so I can, work from home. But the people I'm dealing with are all still in the office and they've got to jump through hoops every morning to go in.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And doing temperature checks now to get in.
So what does your temperature have to be?
Normal.
I think if you're anything below 100, you're considered normal.
Okay.
All right.
Would they do an ear check or?
I don't know.
They do a rectal check just start, for you when you go in?
I have no clue. Fortunately, I was told to work from home before this all. It got to a point where the last day I was there, we were filling out questionnaires every morning. And then had to go, they were supposedly have to go to my boss, which was a joke because my boss didn't come in till like 11 o'clock. So I was like, okay, well, where's this going to go to? So basically I was checking in other people and it was like, okay, yeah, we're all here. Nobody's, it was basically yes, no questions and stuff.
Yeah. And what's funny, whether you're on a phone call or just talking to someone online, via voice, if you clear your throat, you usually end up following it. No COVID.
The couple of meetings I've been in, because like I said, I don't go to a ton of meetings, and most of mine were in person. But it's so hilarious how so many people, engineers that I work with, have not figured out how to use WebEx.
Jesus.
It's like, why are you actually, you're logged into WebEx to see the thing, but yet you call in. You're on a laptop. And one guy I worked with, I was like, you're on the same laptop as I am because we bought them all at the same time. So I know you have a microphone. Why are you calling in on your phone? And then wondering why the sound quality is so terrible.
No, I hear you on that. We don't have that problem with most of the people that I work with.
Okay. I had an hour meeting. It was 20 minutes of one guy going, can you see my screen yet? Can you see my screen yet?
Could you see his screen?
No. Because he was logged in, he's in an area where it doesn't have really good cells or a good cable service. Basically, he's too cheap to pay for cable. So he has a really good AT&T plan from when they really did allow unlimited. So he does everything through his phone. So he was logged in using the hotspot on his phone, and he was also on the phone at the same time. So of course his quality went to shit.
Nice.
I'm like, Alan, because I was like, why don't you hang up the phone and use the WebEx audio? Well, I came up and asked that, and I said no. I was like, well, why would you say no? It's free. You're calling into like San Francisco for this phone call. Because we don't have the 800, they disabled the 800 numbers.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to. Yeah, when we use WebEx, we were not allowed to to use the phone lines for a while.
Well, and that's the way it should be. I mean, you know, even like right. the guys I deal with in the building. Like, you know, I had one, the same conference call. And I know the guy is still one of the people that has to work. And he still was on his phone. I'm like,
right.
Anything, you've got good service here.
In fact, with,
everybody watches the Kentucky Derby, right?
We used to have, our own, VoIP lines, with Avaya, and we don't have those anymore. We don't use them anymore. They just buy everyone a cell phone now. It's easier.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so I have an iPhone for work, and that's what I use for phone calls. Occasionally, I will use the phone on it, mostly for, actually, most common thing I use it for is pager duty, but when I'm on call, which I'll be on call here in, let's see. Oh crap, it might be next week. Jesus. Okay. That's gonna suck. Well, at least the flooring might be almost done by then. I hope. Please God, I hope.
So I got a couple of things. Kind of in relation to what you are saying, Alan. This was kind of crazy, right? So we've been having to navigate this whole school situation because, like, the schools are closed through the rest.
More laptops, huh?
For the rest of the year, and it's all online now, and packets and stuff like that they had given out. So my wife was like, let's just buy a, she went out and bought a cheap Android tablet because they do a lot with a program
Mistake
called Class,
number one.
Well, yeah, closed Class Dojo and stuff like that. So the tablet comes and, it's a MediaTek tablet. It works fine, right? And so we go and we have the family link set up and on my daughter's youngest's phone. And so I go to sign in as her, and usually like with the family link, when you go to sign in, it tells you, the first time you sign into a device, it sends an alert that one of the approvers, one of her parents has to approve, which you go to the family link application or you put in your password and you approve it. So I go to do that, and I sign into her account, and it says username or password is incorrect. I'm like, okay. So I go back, and I try again. And then I go, I'm like, okay, so this has got to be the family link thing. What's going on? And I go and I look up the documentation and on a tablet, and they're saying, well, so you needed Android a 5.5, like newer than 5.5. So 5.5 was what? KitKat? 5 was KitKat, and then
yeah,
Lollipop, the Marshmallow, now, so. Nougat, Oreo, whatever. And I'm like, so I go look at the device, and it says Android 8.1. And I'm like, okay, so this is newer than KitKat. This is like the newest that you got. I think 8.1, isn't that the newest version? Oreo?
9.
Okay, so it should fall within those parameters. So it's like, okay, sign in as your account, go to the, you know, set up your account, go to the Play Store, download and update everything, the latest Google Play, and then go through the process again. So I did that same thing. Told me username and password are incorrect. So I went and I logged in as her on another device, and I didn't have a problem. So I went back. And then somebody said, well, because of the way it works, you have to remove your account and install, and once you have everything updated, remove your account and then put her account on there because you can't have both accounts on the same device. So I tried that and it still didn't work. Now come to find out, and this, I didn't know this, right? So I go look up the specs on this thing and it's like, it says Android 8.1. I'm looking all over the place. I'm like, how come it keeps telling me it's not a supported version of Android? it has to be, it's can't, it has to be newer than KitKat. And I'm like, I'm not running KitKat. I'm running 8.1. And it's not. It's Android Go 8.1, which is KitKat. What a pain in the ass. So we couldn't get that on there. So we didn't worry about that. But then there's like other little things that don't work. Like they had a like classroom recess session today where they all signed in to Zoom, and this is the first time they used Zoom and had like a little research and got to see each other and have, you know, like a little recess at home kind of thing. And we couldn't get Zoom installed on the damn thing. So she had to use my phone for that for now. She has her own phone too, which she can install it. But it was just like, you know, those little things that I never really expected that I didn't even know that there was an Android Go version.
Yeah. I never heard of that one
before. Yeah. It's basically scaled down Android it's supposed to be for markets like, India and so on and so forth, but no.
It's for like the cheap tablets and stuff like this.
Right.
Now, I wish they would have like kept parity with the version numbers or something, because like Android Go 8.1 is KitKat.
Yeah, I don't know why they would all of a sudden be like that far ahead there.
So.
With different numbers.
Yeah,
I ended up when I bought the last tablet, you know, I bought one a couple months ago for Christmas, and I ended up just buying an iPad because I'm like, you know, every tablet I've had has, you know, for all the money I've spent on them, has been worthless in like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I figured maybe at least I can get a year and a half out of this one before it starts to like be complete shit.
Oh heck, my iPad's like the 2017 version and it's still going strong, still works well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the thing, you know.
I mean, I bought one of those Samsung when they first came out. It was like the 10.1 size one. That was a beautiful tablet. And within the year, they stopped putting updates on it. So it was like, and now it's worthless. Because all of a sudden, we're like two versions ahead.
Now, their newer one is actually pretty nice, but... Their latest, greatest Samsung tablet actually has Android 10 on it, and I believe you can also switch it into the desktop like DeX mode, but just makes me wonder how long it would get support, you know.
1 more week.
That's it.
Yeah, probably.
You put it on there and you get 3 weeks of support on the damn thing. I mean, they say it's supposed to be 18 months, but right. I don't think it's really that. Maybe for some security things, do you get 18 months out of it?
Yeah.
But definitely not like when a new version comes out. I mean, you never get a new version for it.
Right. Now, I haven't had a problem with the Note 10 5G, and it's been great. I've been getting software updates every month like I should get.
That's almost a phone at that point. So, you know, the phones you usually get, you know, a little bit.
Well, it is a phone, right?
Support. Yeah, it is actually a phone. But, you know, you get a little bit there in terms of updates and stuff, but unless you're on Verizon and then every update is 18 months anyways.
I'm on Verizon and I get an update every month from my phone. Yeah, I have ever since my Pixel 2 XL. I mean, it was getting them too. In fact, when I traded my Pixel 2 XL, I had Android 10 on it, just like it did take longer, when I first got my Note 10, it had Android 9, but Android 10 did release, so I have an Android 10 on it as well. So, really haven't had too much of a problem with it, other than little minor things like DJI not supporting the Osmo Mobile 2 for a little while, because I don't know what took them so long, but... It works now, and now I hardly ever use that. I use the Pocket Osmo more, or my Sony A6400, my new camera, which I really like. If you ever look at upgrading from your Canon there, Alan, that's where I would go, the Sony's.
Yeah, mirrorless. I've been, most of my shooting now is with the camera or the Osmo Pocket. Just because it's they're small and they're, you know,
it's always with you.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons.
I've been getting some pretty decent ones with the the Pixel 3 here, the XL.
Yep. Now, I still have my Nikon, and I probably will keep that until I flesh out the glass for the Sony. Right now, I only have the 16-50 millimeter lens, the one that came with the kit lens.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to get a telephoto, and I want to get a prime.
That's a crop sensor though, right?
It's APS-C.
Yeah, so it's 1.6.
Yeah. Think. Yeah, it's APS-C. It'll do, I forget what the image, I think the image is like 23 megapixels, I think, 4K video.
Yeah.
But the 4K is only 30 frames per second, but that's fine. I don't care. I don't do a lot of slow-mo. If I want to do something slow-mo, I'll do it with my Osmo Pocket. It's better at that anyway. So, but the software for the Sony, for the phone is fan-freaking-tastic. Basically, I just go on the camera and I say, I want to send this image, and that image, or every image for this day to my phone. Okay? And then it gives you a QR code on the screen for the camera that you can mm-hmm. scan with the phone, and then it attaches via Wi-Fi Direct. But if you've already done that, all you gotta do is open the app, and it'll automatically, and you tap the camera's icon in the app, and then automatically try to connect to it. I haven't found a way that you can connect to it and just browse the images on the camera itself like my old Nikon did, but I don't really care.
Have you seen it on the phone?
Yep. I mean, well, I just select the ones I want to send on the camera itself, and then it just all goes at once, and it goes over seamless. I don't ever have to act. The one thing with my Nikon I always had to do is I had to deactivate mobile, because for some reason it lost its marbles when the 4G was up at the same time as Wi-Fi with that app only. That's, you know, every other time, every other app, every other part of the day, all right, I'd have both up all the time and it wouldn't make a difference. But if I had both up and I tried to use the Nikon Wi-Fi adapter that my D3300 came with, fail every time, unless I turned off the mobile. And then it would still disconnect every once in a while and fail. I didn't get none of that on the Sony. So it's supposed to also, for Windows desktops, it'll also connect to your camera and do that as well. Haven't really got that to work yet. But I also love the fact that you can take the back screen and flip it around into like a vlog mode, so you have the screen facing you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, those YouTube videos I've shot in the last week or so, all shot with my Sony. So,
it takes a nice picture.
Yep, does a really good job. I'm still getting the hang of the full manual mode because it's a little bit different. Like, for example, I haven't figured out, I guess you can shut it off, but actually I haven't really cared. But in manual mode, at least the way it's set up now, the aperture and the speed, the shutter speed, are both full manual, but the ISO will automatically adjust. And that's not actually horrible. It actually does a pretty good job at picking an appropriate ISO. So, but it also squares around where I'd absolutely want to try and get a prime on it so I can get a 1.8 lens. Like I have on my Nikon. So, like I said, I'm still going to keep the Nikon. There's no reason to get rid of it. But then I bought the extra batteries, and you've seen the thing I 3D printed. That actually came out really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got these little clips on the end where once I use one, I can put it back.
So what size prime you getting? What prime lens are you looking for?
I want something similar to the prime that my Nikon has.
What focal length?
Oh,
you know, like a 50 millimeter equivalent?
Yeah, I think.
That's what, like 35 millimeter, I think it is, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it only runs between $100 and $200, so it's not horrible.
Oh, yeah, it's not too bad.
No, but right now, telephoto's kind of the first one I want to get, because the zoom is not bad on this. You know, it's 50, millimeters at the long end, but I want to get one that goes around 200 at least, 200 millimeters. That way I have something similar to what I had on my Nikon. But the one thing I absolutely love is the focus is so fast on this thing. I can shoot 11 frames a second, easy.
That's nice. I haven't taken my good one out in so long, it's not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
I really should, but...
Unfortunately, right now, I don't really have much to take pictures of. One of the things I would definitely be taking pictures of is Easter Sunday. I'm hoping that actually happens, but we'll find out, I guess. But right now, we don't know. I'm kind of interested to find out if people are taking to paying paying their tithe online now. This will be our third week streaming.
Sure, those who can will, or if you figure it out will, but
I definitely do. But that's just because I love, you know, I don't want the church to go away. I think last Thursday I did go over to one of the guys that used to go to our church, although he wasn't there. I met with the lead pastor at his church, and that church is the tiny, teeny tiny church in Commercial Point, and they're trying to figure out what they need to get for videos and for streaming. And he was like, "Oh, what do you want for your consulting fee?" I'm like, "Nothing. You're a church. I don't care."
And no, then free. Joel robbed the donation box on the way out, right?
Man, they had no donation box. Yeah,
that's nice of you, man. That was really nice.
That's just no. If it's for a church, I don't mind doing it for free because I know churches don't get a lot of money,
right?
So I mean, it's like I don't care. It's like just like when my current senior pastor. Well, I won't necessarily call him my current senior pastor. Former senior pastor who's moving on in July to another church. I am betting I'll probably be out there to help them do stuff. I don't know what, but we'll find out. But he's moving from our church to another church because that the church, the guy who pastors the church, the new church, his new what will be his new church, his wife has MS.
Oh, that's sad.
The guy who's the current pastor, and he wants to retire and just take care of her. And so that's what's happening. And it also happens to be like 5 minutes from his house, unlike the 35-minute trip he'd take to Capital City every week. So he doesn't really want to leave us, but I know that he wants to help this church. This church that he's going to only has 35 members right now. And I don't know, actually, I think that's the attendance. It may not be, they may not have that many members, or if they have that many, that many members, not that many of them actually show up. So, but I'll definitely go help him because I, you know, I'll do anything short of driving that far out to go to church every Sunday. One of the reasons I go to church where I go is it's 5 minutes from my house and I'm close and I have no excuse. So I just go, you know, but,
Hey, I got something to say. Just some updates from last week. And I had spoken the past couple of weeks about the couch-based binary issue and how we had to set up Artifactory and pre-build the binaries myself, put them up there, and I got that all done. So all that is put in place, and I kept asking, I said to couch-based, I said, look, man, what versions of the SDK are you going to put out the pre-release, you know, the pre-built binaries for? Because I want to know if, like, we need to prepare for it's going to be the latest versions or they're going to backfill previous versions, you know, and we wanted to be a little bit prepared. And the response was, we'll get back to you. And then last week it was, we got a timeline. We're getting ready. to release the binaries, and I'm like, we're just testing them. And I'm like, that's great, but for what versions? That's what I've been asking, what versions of the SDK? Because we use 2.6.9, 2.6.10 was the latest on the 2.6 series, and then they had just put out the 3 SDK a couple of months ago now. And then sure enough, today they put out the binaries, right? And they're for 2.6.11 and 3.0.1. So they're not backfilling to just the new releases of the SDKs went out this week and they had the binaries. So I was like, all right, this is great. This is fine. What are we going to do? You know, like which version are we going to choose to go to? And blah, blah, blah. You know, so the problem that this presented was that the way that we needed to do this update was that I had what was it? Okay, so I had to update the npmrc file to point to our repo for the binaries, and I had the 2.6.9 and the 2.6.10 binaries in there, which were ready to go for both Linux and OS 10. But now we had to use the 2.6.11. So what that meant was, we had a library that had that configured in it, and then each application that used that library needed to have the npmrc configuration. But because it was a new binary, what ends up happening in our system is once we update that library, it does an auto dependency and updates all the applications to use that new library. So I had to pull down the new SDK for 2.6.11 and update that and build a binary to put up in our own Artifactory so that when the SDK or the library was updated, which I had to remove the entry into the npmrc file so it pulls the binaries from Couchbase now, it would update all the applications. And those applications then, because we can't remove the npmrc entry in there until the library is updated, but once the library is updated, it pushes that change out to all the applications. They get rebuilt and the change gets merged into the master. It's like it's too late then. It would recompile. And so I rebuilt the binaries. And the one thing I said to myself is like, man, I know how to like rebuild all these binaries. I forgot how to upload it in the Artifactory, like what the proper syntax was. And sure enough, my man, what did I do? I documented that shit when I did it the first time. Completely documented where to get the username and password, everything. All that information documented. I was like, damn, if documentation isn't the best thing in the world when you do it properly. Now, come to today.
Yes, it is.
About an hour ago, 2 hours ago, Murph said, I'm going to have to connect, get the podcast, because I can't remember what the address is on the website to get to the stream. The only stream that doesn't work, because all the streams on the website no longer work, because we don't have that other VPN, the virtual VPC running. Anyway, I'm like, man, this has gone on long enough. I said, if only I remembered the username and password to the website so I could download the file and upload it back up again. And sure enough, I had it documented exactly where it's supposed to be in my password manager.
Saves your bacon every single time.
I'm like, yeah. The only problem was, like, I was looking for it. When I started looking for it, I was like, I don't remember where I would have put it in here. And I was looking for it because I know it was hosted on Bluehost. And I thought, maybe it's on Blue, but it wasn't. It was under the name of the website, tllts.org. I had a document. So anyway, the website is updated with the only stream that is running right now. Maybe one day we'll get more. We'll see what happens. But documentation is awesome. Your friend.
It is. It is. Like, Yeah,
we got to start closing things up too. But we'll just have a good night, Alan. Stay safe.
Everybody. Thanks for listening.
Documentation is so key, and that's like one of the things that we did when we switched to. They call it I don't know if you know the code word, the code names for ServiceNow, but there's a, the release we're on, the production release is called New York. So I don't know if you know any about anything about those or not, but that's the release we're on. And one of the things is it, that is a little bit different is we don't really use requests anymore. They still exist in the system, but we don't use them anymore. We use, Kate has cases, incidents are still there for when you have a production incident. And, there's also, change tasks that we use as well as, CIs or, basically CI is anything that's affected by a change. And we also do changes for nonprod now. So the nice thing with doing a change in nonprod is you can completely follow the pathway, doing it in a nonprod environment to doing it in a, production environment. So, we're having bumps. One of the things we have to do is when we go to do an unmet, when we go to do a change, not be it prod or non-prod, if we don't want monitoring to trigger off an incident, then we have to, create a change task for unmanaged. Eventually what they're going to do is affected CIs are going to be, automatically, sent, unmanaged requests. So when you get the change fully approved for production environments or for non-prod, it doesn't really matter. You don't have any approvals. You don't have any peer reviews on non-prod. You just have peer reviews on prod changes. And, eventually it's just basically we're going to go in to add the affected CIs and they have all the servers listed, all the AWS instances are listed in Snow. We just click, 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 done. So eventually. So, it forces us to do documentation even for non-prod changes, which is good and not, and bad at the same time. Like, for example, a lot of times it's easier to actually do it in non-prod first and then document it afterwards. That way you have a record of what you did. Kind of like what I did today, where, custom software group had a software update. They want to load it into a client's test environment. I loaded it in the test environment and then wrote the change up, I kept track of the times while I was doing it. So I knew about when I did it and how long it took. That way I knew, what to put in the documentation. So it's nice when your tools force you to document things. So.
Yep. All right. We gotta play us out, Joel. You got work to do tonight.
Yeah, I got a few minutes yet. My change doesn't start till 10:30, but it shouldn't take me all that long to do, thankfully. I doubt I want to do it. I really want to put some more kills down on the floor, but I might wait because he's not quite done downstairs yet. So, the main area where he's probably going to start is going to be fine. For him to start tomorrow after he gets the trim downstairs done. So we still have to go and find, the treads yet for our stairs. So I haven't even decarpeted those yet, but those shouldn't take that long to decarpet. We really have I have a spot under my dresser and bed in the bedroom. And then I got, a strip, in the living room where the TV and the router and all that sitting. So I'm kind of hoping to push that off until, the weekend. So that way, if I have to unhook the router or something, it ain't going to affect me. So, but, it'll be nice to get the flooring done. And then we'll start hunting for some area rugs here and there. Cause if you want to sit on the floor, which I'd like to sit on the floor. I don't know about you. I like to sit on the floor and I don't know why. I just do. But sitting on a cold vinyl floor is not always the most comfortable thing in the world. So I might get one put under the couch. That way we can do that. That might be a suggestion from my wife for her desk that's going to be downstairs. We were looking at getting like stuff to put under the legs so it wouldn't scratch the flooring. I might just suggest why don't we just get our area rug and we could just set it on top of it. That way when your feet's resting underneath or resting on a rug, not on vinyl floor, which can get cold down there.
Yeah.
Anyway, take care, everyone. Don't hoard toilet paper. Don't hoard food. Don't hoard anything. Be a good citizen and stay safe.
Here you are. Your promos. We'll see you in a week.
Oh, my God. It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Open source, Linux, computers, electronics, science, and amateur radio. We cover it all. Who are we? We are Linux in the Ham Shack, the podcast that brings you and your technology together with the power of software freedom. Drop us in your favorite podcatcher or join us every other Tuesday night for the interactive live show. Visit LHSpodcast.info for all the details, news, and information. We are Linux in the Ham Shack, and we want to open your mind.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduk to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
You know, even better, I just looked at my work phone. We had an all hands scheduled at 8 in the morning, and they canceled it. Thank God. Actually, at 8 in the morning, I should say. It's okay, I still got a whole bunch of meetings tomorrow. Ugh.
Yeah, well.
Terrible death to die, a terrible death to die, to death, terrible death to die.
Well, we got, wait, hold on. Five, four, three, two, one, boom! 1 hour and 50 minute recording. I'm stopping it right here. Say goodnight, Joel.
Good night, Joel.
It's running with Raspbian.
Raspbian, yeah.
Yeah, so it's the full version of Raspbian.
You think that would be fine?
Yeah.
I think so. I'm kind of disappointed with the level of development on the Pi 4 right now. I figured it'd be moving a lot quicker, but it has been less than a year, so maybe I was just expecting too much.
I think this is a good conversation for the show.
Okay.
The pre-show portion? Are we recording?
Yes, who knows? I see like three people recording.
Okay, because I can't see from my interface.
Dan.
So, there's been fairly heavy rumor with the release of VMware
Rich.
7.
Yeah. Rick, hold on a second. Is anybody else? Is Rich really low for anybody
else?
He
is really low.
A little low. Yeah, he is low.
Yeah.
I can turn the volume up.
Yeah, do that.
That helps.
Do
turn
it.
Your volume up.
Oh, do turn it. Your volume off, Joel. Turn it off.
I am exhausted.
Yeah.
Are you exercising?
No, my wife tires me pulling fucking carpet.
Is she doing what to her carpet?
We have a family member, even in the stay-at-home order, coming up and doing flooring in our house.
Is this any better?
No.
Still kind of low.
Still low, really?
A little better, but still kind of low.
Anyway, so we're prepping everything that we can. Hello, dog. Anyway, we're prepping everything we can. And the downstairs, they finally got all the planks in. And we got to do the trim yet downstairs. Living room has been decarpeted. The bedroom is in the hallway. It's also been mostly decarpeted. There's a couple spots in both. You're fine. Somebody's really freaking loud, and they hear a lot of noise.
Yeah. Well, if you somebody's be quiet, moving furniture. We hear the noise.
Exactly,
better.
It's moving time.
Right.
That was me probably moving around in my room here.
I enjoyed that.
So, you know, I get off work, and she's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Resting from work." Well, you need to get in there and turn out the carpet. I'm like, okay. I'm exhausted. I am ready for this week to be over. What's worse is I gotta make a change to a non-prod system here after the show tonight. Yay.
Is the change ready to go?
Yeah.
For me, that's like one click.
It doesn't take that long. I just gotta down the system, change a parameter, and add a directory, because basically moving a temp directory for any interdata from one drive to another, and then restart everything. So it shouldn't take that long. It's not one button press, unfortunately. Never is right now.
Alan, you ever go to those pinball shows at the fairgrounds?
I haven't been in a couple years. I think there was one coming up in May, but doesn't look like it probably will not
probably
happen this year.
Canceled. You familiar with that company, Marco Specialties?
No, that one
they
I'm not.
They sell parts.
But you get yourself a pinball machine.
Yeah, I know mm-hmm. them. I'm friendly with them. I know them.
I'll have to do non-prod pushes. But when it comes to like adjusting the DB in non-prod, the developers have that access.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, this is one of those ones where the client has a integration that for some reason 8 gigs of space on the root drive, a root file system isn't enough for them. I don't know why. So I got to move it to a drive with more space.
Yeah, I just call another team for that.
Yeah, well.
The provisioning team, hey, give me more space.
We tried that. That didn't work. They didn't want to do it. Which I'm like, why? It doesn't make sense.
Are you guys in the middle of a freeze right now?
No.
Yeah,
they never are.
They did one.
Well, I'm fintech, so.
We never, ever, ever are. We always work.
Well, with the markets the way they are. Then...
Right.
We're in a freeze.
I'm higher end, that's why. They don't give a flip.
Hey, Joel.
Yeah?
On your intros to your videos, I'm very disappointed with them.
Why?
You change the music, and yet you do not have any, like, it's like this serious, like, news program type thing.
Yeah,
you don't
I
have
know.
Any more. You don't have any Morse code in the background taping something.
Ah, well, that could be arranged.
You really, you know, they're on the mellow part to begin with here, but so right. I figure that, you know, type in like a message here that no one will know.
But you have to make it say, F you, Rich.
You can make that happen.
You really need to add that, you know, something going on in the background there.
Made me find a teletype.
Oh, you know, the clacking would work. Morse code would work, too. Yeah, run it through something that, you know, you can get
freaking hoarding hordes. It is still horrible at the store.
Yep. Oh, but, when people hear that a store has toilet paper, all of a sudden they get mobbed.
I know, right? I do have a suggestion for y'all. Look for your mom and pop grocery stores, besides the fact that they need the money more than Kroger or Wegmans and all the others. They're generally better stocked because nobody goes there.
I'm going to say, I don't have any mom and pop grocery stores around here. Which is kind of
a I bet you do, but they're probably in downtown Norfolk, and you probably don't want to go there anyway.
No, I ain't going to fucking Norfolk.
It's been a little while since I've seen a mom and pop.
I can't. I've worked all around Norfolk and driven.
Or an IGA or something like that.
Okay, an IGA, an independent grocer. I'm going to see if there's an IGA.
That's a mom and pop. Technically, that is a mom and pop. But, yeah, they actually had, like, about that, well, they were in the same boat Kroger and everybody else is, with no hand sanitizer, no TPE. Although I'm starting to see paper towels making an appearance from time to time. We went to Lowe's to go look at something.
Yes.
And they have today. Paper towels. Yeah.
I saw paper towels. I even found some TP. Cleaners mm-hmm. are starting to show up again.
Yeah,
I think all of those now, you have to actually go to – you can't do the online for those anymore either.
No.
Yeah, you got to be able to do – because we did a Target run, the online version of it.
And
they have a whole bunch of them that say, you know, you have to come in the store for to see whether or not this stuff is here.
Over the weekend, I went over to Sam's and then next door to Meijer. Meijer had toilet paper, so we got two big as Meijer sells, which isn't as big as what Sam's has, but it's a good quilt and northern stuff, so we're good on that for the moment. But it's
I'm going to laugh in a few months when this stuff's done and all these people try and return, you know, 500 rolls of toilet paper.
There's a lot of places already have come out and said that, you know, there are certain things we're not going to be returning.
Uh-huh. Or a cart full of chicken. With
You know what? You got a year supply of toilet paper, man. You're going to use it, right? You're going to mm-hmm. use it. If you don't have a bidet, you're going to use it.
Exactly.
Toilet paper going to get cheap.
Food you can eat.
Yep. I'm proud of myself. I only ate out once this week.
I haven't eaten out in over a month.
Well, they brought it to us and actually took advantage and said, just put it on the steps. You know, we'll come out and get it.
Yeah, Grubhub and Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm. We had Popeyes tonight. It was good. But instead of fries and potatoes, I got me red beans and rice, man. Wife's going to be in a surprise. In for a surprise about 3 a.m. The Dutch oven, right, Dan?
There you go.
That's just wrong.
Farted out with love.
Hey, like you've never done it, Pat.
Can we start the show?
Yeah, we can start the show.
Nah, let's just keep shooting the breeze. Yeah, let's start the show.
Oh, wait. Sorry, making sure I got everything lined up. Let me check.
Is it a little to the left or a little to the right? Or in the middle?
Let me check the stream. It should be going just fine. Yeah, it's going. Yeah, before I start the show, I just want to ask you, Pat, how do you know the people at Marco Specialties? Everything.
I know someone who's related to them.
Oh, okay, because I was like, oh, is that place up in Pennsylvania, but they're in Lexington,
South
Carolina?
No, they're
in
South Carolina.
Okay, that's cool, man. That place looks really interesting.
They go to all those shows.
Okay.
I think they're having issues with like parts from China, like everybody else.
Oh, I bet.
Well, no shows for me, man. Murph, Hamvention, all that's done.
All right, we'll start it for you, Joel.
3, 2, 1.
Well, that was a little faster than I expected. This is episode 850! 850! Holy crap. And Alan's on. Here we go.
I don't know.
Birthday boy coming up, eh?
Yep.
Yep.
Two of them.
Mm-hmm.